I wanted to just take a moment to look at you. To look at you. To see you. To acknowledge you. And to say how good it is. How good it feels to be standing before you this day. Church, it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure to bring forth a word to you from our God. I do give honor to God, who is the creator and sustainer of my life. I give thanks to Jesus Christ, who died so that you and I might have eternal life. And I give glory to the Holy Spirit, which watches over and directs me in my journey each and every day. This moment has been one that you and I have been waiting for and praying about. And God has brought us together in worship this morning. Will you pray with me, please? God of the universe, you who made the moon, the sun, and the starry sky, please let your Holy Spirit enter into this time of listening to you. Calm my beating heart, and ease our busy minds. We are putting aside the cares of the day and the worries of the moment, so we might be challenged and inspired to serve you, our Most High God. Enter into the words that I speak and the very moves I make, so that all may receive a word from you. This is your humble servant's prayer. Amen. I normally don't tell a joke or a story, but when I was preparing for this sermon, I read this particular one and felt it went with our experience this morning. So here we go. A ministerial candidate was preparing to preach his candidating sermon. Yeah, y'all get it. Filled with enthusiasm, he bounced into the church's very high pulpit, looked at the congregation, and began to speak, "Behold, I come." Then he froze, forgetting what he was supposed to say next. Trying not to panic, he told himself that he would just sit down for a moment. The words would come back to him. So he sat down for a moment, then bounced up, rushed up to the pulpit and said, "Behold, I come." Again, nothing came. Nothing came to his mind. He could not remember. So he sat down again and then rushed back into the pulpit again, crying out, "Behold, I come." This time, he bounced so hard that the pulpit broke loose from the floor and the preacher went tumbling into the lap of a woman sitting on the front pew. He got up apologizing profusely. The woman then said, "Oh, please, don't apologize, young man. You warned me 3 times you were coming." I will try to keep my enthusiasm a little lower than that for the moment. Brothers and sisters, the message God has placed on my heart to share with you and also for me is entitled "Walk by Faith." Even though we have read 11 verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our entire message will focus on simply 3 words from this text. Walk by faith. With these 3 words, Paul implies the journey we are on as followers and seekers and believers of Christ is sustained by the audaciousness of Christ coming again. This assurance comes from a place of strength and boldness to stand for your beliefs in the midst of the city of Corinth with its many gods and idols. This means standing up in the middle of the political issues swirling in this seaport community. and yes, standing out as a living example of Christ among your neighbors, your friends, and yes, even your enemies. To walk by faith in the midst of the time and place you were in was something this servant of Christ was well aware of. Paul at one time had been a persecutor of those who followed Jesus himself, as you may recall. It would take a hesitant man named Ananias, who was yet willing to walk by faith with Paul, that enabled him to see the light in his Damascus Road experience. Thus, Paul knew that being a follower of Christ required one, demanded one, to be bold in their belief, daring in their community engagement, and obedient to the words of Christ every second, every minute, and every hour. Yet Paul also knew. He knew the doubters, the dissenters, even the disinterested would be burdensome to the minds and hearts of those attempting to remain true to the word of faith they professed in the time they lived. Indeed, this entire letter to the Corinthians is meant to answer questions, and more importantly, to bring them back to the grounding of their belief in who they are. My friends, walking by faith is both an internal as well as an external occurrence in your life. And Paul is telling the folks they need to wear it firmly and proudly. The people of the way, as they would be known as followers of Christ in that time, they can make it through any obstacle, through any challenge, if they have such tenacity. Paul himself, in times of imprisonment or when his authority was being delegitimized, was well aware that being the hands and feet of Christ required, commanded, a deep faith. And here is this bustling city of Corinth, with its transient population and varying cultures. The people must not only stand on their faith, but also walk within the community with this same confidence. There is faithful work which needs to be done. And my brothers and sisters, that is still true for you and me today. I believe this walking by faith reflects the movement of the Spirit calling for us to engage the belief with the wider community in which we live. Paul is not talking about having a faith only in the house church in which they are located, but rather walking by faith implies expressing to others your experience of knowing the living Christ. Sisters and brothers, Paul's message is living out your faith. Paul's call is being the faithful people of God you are called to be in the community in which you live. He constantly placed the word faith before the listeners and doers of the word in his letters. Paul did not focus, as many of our churches today, on attendance alone, which has nothing to do with the church's health. He didn't proclaim sustaining the building and the finances as more important than actually living out faith that we claim. What matters is not how many people are showing up, but how active and vibrant our faith emulates Christ in the community and in the world. You can easily pack a building without being faithful to God, because crowds do not equal spirituality. Paul knew faith was the one thing that held you up in the good times and the bad, in the happy and the sad. Jesus tells that faith, the size of a mustard seed, was a powerful instrument that could change the world. Let me give you an example of what I believe Paul was trying to say and is still being said to us today. Back in the 1960s, there was an elementary school boy who would walk down the street every so often. And he would pass by a kindly old man sitting under the shade tree in the front of his house. And as that child walked by, the old man would engage the boy in conversation, asking questions such as where his parents were. While remaining on the other side of the road from the man, the child would say he lived just down the road and in the red house, and his mother, she was home. The biggest question the old man asked was why this boy was going home when he should still be in school. The boy replied, he had open sores that needed to be treated and cared for. And until they were gone, he was going to be sent home every day, at least until they were better. And this was the case for this child over several weeks, as his mother would put bandages and ointments on the wounds, sending him back to school, but nothing helped. So the boy and the kindly old man would continue to have conversations, quite a few times, in fact, over several weeks. All during this time, the old man was telling his daughter and his son-in-law that somebody ought to do something for this child. Yet the time came when the old man was not under the tree, the shade tree anymore, when the boy came walking down the street, home from school in the middle of the day, one more time and again. This time, the old man's daughter was out in the yard. Seeing the boy, she asked him, why was he going home from school? And as he began to tell her about his sores, the woman could not miss the need of this child, this child standing before her. So she invited him into her yard and secondly into her house. She went into her medicine cabinet, bringing out a small container of black salve. She placed the salve on every sore located on his head, his face, his arms, his back, his chest, and his legs. She did not worry what his mother might say or think, as she was a church-going woman. Then after asking questions of the child about his home life, she asked him to stop by every day so she could apply the salve. The boy started to stop by every day. But the woman saw that the salve was coming off almost as fast as she could put it on. So she asked him if he could take a note home to his mother, whom she had never met, requesting the child to be able to stay with her until the sores went away. Amazingly, the mother trusted the woman, and the boy remained with this woman long after the sores were healed. Indeed, he came to know Christ in this loving family and live with them until he went off to college. As an adult, this man learned much later how members of both sides of this child's family were adamantly opposed and against to the relationship that these two women of faith had made. Yet they trusted God and that God had brought them to this journey, and so they took it. They would meet months later after the child had been living in the home. Both of these mothers were willing to walk by faith for the health and safety of this child. You see, I know the possibilities and the opportunities that can come from walking by faith with Jesus. I know what the mighty power that God can do when you never think it's possible, when you don't see the reality and the possibilities for yourself. I know what faith can do in helping someone who is down and out, who needs a helping hand, who needs a friend. I know it because the child I'm talking to you about was me. I am that child who was suffering from impetigo, and I was suffering from a disease that nobody wanted to touch me. I was like a pariah in my own community, in my own school. But this woman down the street looked and saw not a child who was suffering from a disease that could easily be transferred to her. What she saw was an opportunity to share Christ's love, to be Christ's grace, to extend the Lord's mercy. It is why I stand before you this day It was these women's faith who encouraged me to be strong, a strong leader for Jesus. It was them who encouraged me as I would expand myself and do more things within the denomination of American Baptist Churches USA. It would be that grounding that they implanted in me in this small little experience that would allow me to see God's call to do ministry in a larger setting and send me forth to ordain ministry. Oh, I know what faith can do. Faith can change things. Faith can bring healing to the sick. I'm telling you, faith will do so many great things in our place. Amen. Yes, you and I need one thing. We need what Paul calls us to. We need to be confident. Confident in sharing the gospel of Jesus in season, look out now, and out of season. If folks want to hear us, then glory be to God. And if they don't want to hear what the Lord has to offer them by grace, compassion, hope, and love, then we will pray for them and we will serve them in some other way throughout our community. If folks tell us we are foolish for this ministry, have mercy. If they tell us we are crazy about this sort of belief that we have, we will offer them God's grace. We will thank them for their words, and we will continue on in our ministry work. We will walk by faith, sharing Christ's love by standing in the margins with families, with families who are struggling because of the poor educational system that we have in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. Those who are struggling because they have poor health care or no health care at all. They are struggling to get an adequate education or affordable housing. We will walk by faith with them. We will hold them by hands. We will reach out and be Christ to them in whatever means, by whatever power, in whatever way that we can. My friends, we must unabashedly seek justice. And we must ask and call upon the Lord that justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When we are looking at the immigration plight in this nation, it will be our active trust in God that emboldens our support of the immigrant, having us ask those helpful questions, visiting detention centers, going to court, or offering sanctuary if it is needed. This same sense of justice drives our supporting laws, which can reduce gun violence in our communities, in our nation, and we need it desperately. Friends, as Paul told his listeners, Jesus is calling them to demonstrate their faith as his disciples. I would dare say to you and I that we receive this same call today. It's not about whether we have walked by faith yesterday. It's not whether we walked by faith the day before. It's not whether we walked by faith 2 years ago. It's about whether we walk by faith right now. Will we allow God to do what God has called us to do? And we're not all called to do the same thing, so let me tell you that right now. We're not all called to do the same ministry, but we are called by Christ to walk by faith and to do faithful acts in this community, in this church, in this our very world. And Paul was challenged to ask this question because the Corinthians were dealing with the same things that we deal with today. Poverty abound, violence was in the community, immigrants were all over, but yet Paul is telling us to live on Christ's word, and Christ's most powerful word is love, that we will walk by faith in love. I may not have to agree with everything you say. You and I may have to sit a little across from each other for a little while, but because of love, I will come and I will sit here and I will say, sister, I don't see eye to eye with you, but let's talk. Let's have a conversation, Sue. Now, you know, I know you, sister, because, Lord. I'm not going to say what my God sister would say, but that's okay. Listen. We need this word today. It is challenging to be who God calls us to be in the world in which we live right now. It is a challenge to be Christ. For two women who took a risk, for a little nappy-headed boy like me. Yes, I was. It changed my life. You don't realize the little things that you might do for someone who you don't agree with, who you don't like, who's a neighbor you can't get along with, who's a friend that you don't even know is a friend. You never know. But yet, if you stand up on Christ and you walk by faith that Christ has placed in you, there is no obstacle that can get in your way. There's no mountain you cannot climb. There's no valley you cannot enter. So this day, North Shore Baptist Church, God is saying to you, and to me, we are to walk by faith. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. One more time for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.